As you know, this summer we have been going through a selection of Psalms according to the Revised Lectionary, Common Lectionary. And today we are given to read Psalm 80. Psalm 80. To be truthful, I was not too familiar with this psalm, but as I was preparing for for this sermon, I was deeply blessed by this psalm. So it is my prayer that you too will be blessed by the truth that we find in this psalm. Psalm 80, page 574 in your pew Bibles. Let's give God our undivided attention and our heart. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It, the vine, sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all people, all who pass by, pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Word of our Lord. There's one very interesting thing about Psalm 80 that has nothing to do with the sermon today, but I'll tell you anyways. If you count all the Hebrew letters in the book of Psalms, that one letter at the very center of the whole book of Psalms is found in Psalm 80, verse 14. Now, who cares? Well, the Jewish scribes, when they were transcribing, copying the book of Psalms, to make sure that it was accurate, after they finished transcribing, they counted all the words, all the letters, Hebrew letters of the book, to make sure it had the right number. And also, they always checked for this one letter at the very center in Psalm 80, verse 14, to make sure that, you know, if that letter is at the center, then you can be certain that it's accurate. So that's how they, how accurately they tried to do their work. So if you have lots of time this summer, maybe I can lend you my Hebrew Bible and you can try that. As we have read together, Psalm 80 is very rich. It's full of images, full of references to things, to other Bible passages. And today, to help us understand this psalm better, I want to highlight three images or three words that are repeated again and again in the psalm. And they are sun, S-O-N, sun, vine, and face. Sun, vine, and face. These are the things that are continually repeated in our psalm today. So first, the image of the sun. Well, in verses 1 and 2, we read four names. They are Joseph, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. If you know the Old Testament, you will know that these are the names of the sons and grandsons of Jacob. Of course, Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and Benjamin was the youngest of the 12. And these two were the favorites of the father. They were the favorites of Jacob. Do you know why? Because they come from Rachel, right? They are the two sons of Rachel. And if you don't know the story, Jacob had a few different wives, and Rachel was his favorite. And that doesn't sound very good, but that's what happens in Genesis. And Joseph and Benjamin were the favorites of Jacob. And Ephraim and Manasseh are the two sons of Joseph. So I'm gathering that maybe two grandsons, favorite grandsons of Jacob. And I think here we need, it will help if we have a little bit of background information. And I'll try to be very simple. Jacob had 12 sons, which becomes 12 tribes of Israel. And they are eventually divided into two different kingdoms, north and south. The north, also called House of Joseph, are the 10 tribes. And they represent the promise of the father to the favorite son, to Joseph, and to Ephraim, the grandson. The southern kingdom, however, is represented by the fourth son, Judah, so it's called the House of Judah, and also Benjamin, so two tribes. And you might wonder, why is Benjamin belong to the both kingdoms? Well, I guess that's what the youngest siblings are really good at, right? They belong to everywhere. In fact, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, was located at the border, and they belong to both sides, the little cute brother. So back to Psalm 80, we can see that this psalm is a prayer, a plea to God, who is the God of Joseph, who is the God of the northern kingdom. It's a prayer of the tribes of the north. And they are saying, they are praying, God, you are the God of Joseph. You are our shepherd and king. You are the one who shone your light to Joseph, to Benjamin, to Ephraim, and to Manasseh. But now, we are in trouble. We are defeated by the superpower, Assyrian Empire. And now we find ourselves refuge in the south. So that's what's happening historically. This psalm, Psalm 80, if you see on the bottom on the right side, Psalm 80 is the prayer of the displaced northern people now finding refuge in the south, probably in and around Jerusalem, around the temple, and there mourning for the loss of their destroyed kingdom. So that's the image of the sun. Once the favorite, once flourished with father's blessing, now that sun is destroyed, abandoned. How about the vine image? Vine, too, starts off great. In verse 8, we read, God, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You transplanted this vine into a new land, and you drove out the nations, and you put us there, and we flourished there. And this is clearly a reference to the Exodus, right? We were brought out from Egypt, brought to the land of the promise. You even drove out the nations, the Canaanites, so that we can take root and grow there. And in verses 10 and 11, it says, "There, this vine, our people to the north, we went as far as the cedar trees." That's the mountains of Lebanon. "And to the west, we went as far as the sea," probably the Mediterranean Sea. "And to the west, to the east, we went as far as the river," referring to Euphrates River. So they are saying, "God, you transplanted this vine in the land you have given us, and we were very successful there, very successful." Probably referring to the time of David, time of United Kingdom, before they were divided, when they had so much power and they were flourishing. But it says, "God, now all the walls that kept us safe are removed. God, you have removed your protection from us. We are no longer the lovingly cared vine. Now anyone who passes by can pick grapes from our vine. Anyone can harm us. Anyone can violate us." This, I think, is such a powerful image. The vine that was so safe and so secure and fruitful now have become so vulnerable. Anyone can harm this vine. Anyone can cut it down. It says, "Boars from the mountain ravage us," probably referring to the Assyrian army. And in verse 16, it says, "Your vine is cut down, burned, and we perish." This is the vine, once lovingly cared, now burned, destroyed. So the favorite son is abandoned. This vine is destroyed. In such a horrendous situation, what can they possibly pray for? And that's our third image. They pray for God's face. They pray for God's face. Three times in our psalm they pray, "O God, make your face shine upon us. O God Almighty, make your face shine upon us." And in verse 19, "O Lord God Almighty, make your face shine upon us." But we are familiar with this language, but if you think about this, maybe it's a strange prayer. In such a desperate situation, such a desperate time, asking for God's face. Why ask for his face? But if you know the Israelites, they pray this prayer because they know how important this prayer is. They knew what this prayer meant historically. Because for them, this was one of the most important prayer of blessing that they can pray in the time of destruction and desperation. This prayer actually comes from the time of Moses. If we can see the next slide. From the Numbers 6. This is a very familiar passage for us. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, who are the priests." So this is basically God telling Moses to tell the priests who prepare the worship service, "This is how you are to bless them at the end of each service. Say to them," say to the Israelites, "the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." This prayer is from God himself, given to the priests and to Moses and to all of us to pray for oneself, to pray to one another, for one another. And they knew what to pray for in such a time. "The Lord bless you." Like I shared with the children, this is not just a wish. This is a blessing of the Father. And when God blesses us, like I said, it's not just a wish. When the Father blesses His children, the Father is saying, "You are my son. You are my daughter. And I'm your Father. I love you. I delight in you. I rejoice in you. So, with all my power, with all that I have, I give you." That's God's blessing. And this Father makes His face shine on us. I don't know about you, but when I think of a shining face, it's not an angry face, right? It's a smiling face, warm face. I can't help but think of that shining face in the Teletubbies. I don't know if you know that one. That's what comes to my mind. Probably not a good illustration. But definitely, it's a smiley face. Smiley face. God smiling at us, rejoicing in His children. Father's delight, affection. A face-to-face, intimate relationship. But remember also in Genesis, God said to Moses, "You can't see my face. If you see my face, you will die." God is saying, with my holiness, absolute holiness, and your sinfulness, your absolute sinfulness, no, if you see my face, you will die. So when God says, "You can't see my face," it's not that God is being grumpy. God is saying, it's impossible. You will die because I'm so holy and you're so unholy. You're so sinful. But now, God is saying, "I will make my face shine on you because I will be gracious to you. I'll give you peace and I'll be gracious to you. I will do whatever is required on my part to make this possible. I will be gracious to you." That's a radical grace. That's a radical grace. That's the kind of grace that the abandoned son needs. That's the kind of grace and that's the kind of restoration that the destroyed vine needs. So they pray, "Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us." And how is that prayer going to be answered? For that, we have to go back to the image of the sun. In verse 17, we read how they pray for the sun, for a new sun. Verse 17, "Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself." Here, we have to pay attention to this language of the son of man, which almost always refers to a king figure, kingly figure, especially in the Psalms and also in other books of the Bible, such as Daniel and Ezekiel, and continues into the New Testament. And if Psalm 80 is a prophetic prayer, which all scholars believe it is, then this Son of Man refers to the King who will restore Israel, who will restore both kingdoms, the Messiah. And that's not who Joseph was. Joseph is not linked to a kingly image. I mean, he was a great man. He ruled the Egypt and Israel, but he's not associated with the image of the king. Yet, in the south, in the southern kingdom, people of Judah, they always believed that a king and a Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah. And we know down the history how God chooses David as their king, David, who comes from the tribe of Judah. So in Psalm 78, this is what we read. Then God rejected the tents of Joseph. He rejected the tribes of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He chose David, his servant. So this is very interesting. On one hand, we have the northern kingdom, we have the ten tribes, who believe in the promise of to Joseph from the tribe of Ephraim, from the Rachel side. And on the other hand, we have this promise of a king in the south from the tribe of Judah in the line of David. And this kind of tension, this even conflict, for a long time existed in Israel. That caused the division too. So people are fighting and arguing between whose house the Messiah will come. Is it house of Joseph or is it house of Judah? But we know the answer, don't we? We who are in Christ, we know the answer. This tension, this irony, this conflict gets resolved in a new son. Not Joseph, not David, but a new Messiah, in whom the promises to Joseph and David is fulfilled. And here, I'd like to share what Walter Kaiser, a very prominent Old Testament scholar, says about our psalm. He says, quote, "Such traditions of two saviors or two messiahs finally find resolution in the single savior, who combines in himself the major elements of both traditions. In him is the royal image of the King David, his power and sovereignty, and also in him is the suffering image of Joseph, who goes down in a pit, down to Egypt, down in the prison dungeon, and then ascended to the ruling position at the right hand of Pharaoh." So who is this new son? Who calls himself the Son of Man and stands at the right hand of God? Remember what Stephen saw in his vision in Acts 7 when we were going through the book of Acts? In Acts 7, this is what we read. "But Stephen, full of Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Jesus Christ is the true Son. He is the true Messiah. All the promises of God, whether it was to Abraham, to Jacob, to Joseph, or to David, it gets completely fulfilled in a new Son, Jesus Christ. Then how about the vine? This new son also says, "I am the new vine." In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we pray, "God, I'm cut down. I'm destroyed. I feel like the walls that protected me is gone. God, I'm completely vulnerable. Anyone passing by can hurt me. Anyone can take the grape from my vine. I'm scared. God, restore me. Make your face shine on me and be gracious to me." And God's answer to that prayer is Jesus, who says, "I am the vine. Friends, brothers and sisters, people of God, this is the good news that in Christ, we are not the vine. Hallelujah. He is the vine and we are the branches. That's the good news. And Jesus says, if you remain in me, only if you remain in me, I will become the walls that protect you. I will make you fruitful. Your life will have meaning and purpose if you remain in me. But apart from me, away from me, you have nothing. You can do nothing. And so we pray. God, make your face shine upon us. We pray that same prayer that God gave to Moses again and again. And that prayer for God's face, that too is answered in Christ for us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. All God's love, all his forgiveness, all his promise, God's smile, God's delight in us shines upon us in the face of Christ, his Son. Because all that took away from us, God's face, Jesus took it upon himself on the cross. And the resurrected Son says, I'm the true Son. All God's promises are completely fulfilled in me for you. And he says, I'm the true vine and you are the branches. Remain in me and bear much fruit. And he says, I'm the face that shines upon you with God's glory and his blessing. That's why we pray every day and every Sunday at the end of the service. God, let your face shine upon us so that we may be saved, so that we may have life, abundant life that you give us, and so that in your light, in the light of your face, we can find our way in this world full of darkness. God, may the light of your face shine upon us. And all God's people, together we say, Amen.